Good morning. My name is Kevin Steele. I'm Vice President of Finance and Advancement for Christmas College. Christmas College? It's been a long day already. It has. So, Criswell College. And it's my pleasure today to introduce to you our speaker. Our today's speaker is Dr. Barry Creamer, President of Criswell College. And he has been serving as our president since 2014 after spending a combined 10 years as both a member of the faculty and as the vice president of academic affairs. He's a trained philosopher and historian. He holds a BA in English from Baylor University, an MDiv from the best school on his resume, Criswell College, a PhD in humanities from the University of Texas at Arlington, and for more than 20 years, Dr. Creamer pastored churches across Texas. He continues to preach conferences, teach lay audiences, and serve as interim pastor for churches in transition. Dr. Creamer has spent over a decade hosting his own podcast, Coffee with Creamer, a program covering relevant issues in ethics, ministry, and worldview, and has served on the executive committee of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. His writing has been featured on numerous print and electronic platforms. Let me just share with you a little bit of my own experience. I met Dr. Creamer many years ago upstairs in room E211, I believe it was the first time. I believe it was one of Dr. Metz's Greek classes. I didn't know that much about him at the time, so he was suspect to me. Didn't know what to think about him, but I knew this. I knew he was really, really smart. Having had the opportunity to spend time in the classroom with him as we were both doing our MDiv here, and then subsequently at the University of Texas, Arlington, I learned he was not just super smart, he was perhaps the smartest person that I knew, other than my wife. And so I have had many years of experience with him, but I want to just share this one with you. It was a Wednesday night. He was pastoring Woodland West Baptist Church. Me and my wife walked into the service where he was teaching from one of the Psalms to his people. And he opened up the text, and he didn't just teach them from his head. He taught them from his heart, opening up insights to the scripture that though I had been to seminary and though I had been pastoring and I had been in ministry for many years, they were just new to me, and they were fresh to me, and they opened up a portion of the scripture that I had never known before. And I already knew and respected and loved the man, but I loved him even more on that particular day. He's a man of great intellect. He's a man of great ethical conviction. He's a man who's concerned with those who are most vulnerable in society. And he's my friend. And so I hope you will welcome him here this morning, Dr. Barry Creamer.
It's a very, very kind introduction, Kevin. I really appreciate that. We have known each other for a long time, and I'm always very grateful for him as a brother. I'm here, this is a little different today because of Preview Day. I'm really honored by our guests being here in Preview Day. Always grateful to stand before our students and our staff and faculty and administrators and be able just to talk about Criswell College. I love every opportunity I get to preach, and I will share some from Scripture with you today as well, but I kind of want to ground it in what our school is about. And Kevin was right in mentioning that, you know, I pastored a church for 17 years in Arlington before I came to Criswell College to be a professor back in 2004, and that was my calling. When I was a kid, I knew when I was 13 years old, I knew I was a member of Northside Baptist Church in Arlington, and I had Pastor James Weir that I respected. And, you know, I went to church just like everybody else. I was dragged in my group. I was dragged to church by my parents, and I went to church every time the doors were open. I went all the time. And by the time I was 13 years old, I was in eighth grade, I knew that God had called me to ministry. I knew that I knew that was what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to, in some way, preach the word. I was supposed to communicate the gospel. But at 13, I didn't care That's what it was. So I didn't tell anybody, and I didn't agree to it at all. I was into debate at the time, and I was for the next 5 years in high school, junior high and high school, and my debate partner and I slaughtered everybody we debated. And so it just seemed the obvious path for me to take, that we would go into law practice together eventually. And so we had worked it all out, where we were going to go to law school, where we were going to open our practice, everything that was going to happen. So from 13 to 16, I didn't care that the Lord had called me to preach at all. But when I turned 16, my act of rebellion against my parents was I got my driver's license and I decided to go to a different church than they went to. That was my act of rebellion. And so I went to this independent fundamental Baptist church, very conservative, very enthusiastic conservative Baptist church. And there, I sort of needed this. The pastor preached harder and meaner than I'd ever heard anybody preach. And it was enough to break through my apathetic shell. And if I hadn't been so hard-hearted, God would probably not have had to do that to me. But he did, and I'm grateful that he did. And so at 16, I had gone to that church for no more than a month or so before I acknowledged what I'd been ignoring for 3 years at the time, that God had called me to preach. And it wasn't like a negotiation. I mean, I was laying in bed one night when I was 16, again, right after I'd started going to this church, and God said, well, it's not like an audible voice. I didn't need an audible voice, as others have said. It was louder than that. It was just, God's like, well, are you going to do it? And I'm like, nope, I'm not. I'm not going to be poor the rest of my life, and I'm not going to marry an ugly woman. I'm not going to do it. And so I wasn't going to be in ministry. Neither of those things happened, by the way. I was just, I was 16 years old. I was stupid. If you're 16, I don't think you're stupid. I'm just saying you got a long ways to go. Anyway, the point is, when I was 16, I didn't know any better, and so I just thought, no, not going to happen. But there was a relentless awareness that night, just lying in bed, I can remember the whole time, that was what I needed to do. So I compromised and said, well, how about if I just become a public school teacher? Would that be close enough? I mean, that's giving up the wealth of being a lawyer, right? I'll be a public school teacher. That should do. And it's like, nope, that's not what I'm calling you to do. That's a great calling. That's a great calling. Just like being a lawyer is a great calling, but it's not what I'm calling you to do. And so I eventually just said, all right, I'll be a preacher. And as soon as I did, it was like I could breathe again and everything was clear. Not everybody's called to the same thing. Some are called to be preachers. Some are called to be teachers. Some are led into careers that you would never have chosen on your own, but that's your way of serving God. Whatever it is you're called to, it doesn't matter. It's not the fact that it was a preacher. It's just the fact that I finally acknowledged that my life didn't belong to me, that my career did not belong to me, and that God had something he wanted me to do, and I needed to yield to that. And so when I finally said yes to it, and I gave in, and when I did, I acknowledged I was throwing all my aspirations out the window. When I finally did that, I could breathe again, life was clear again, everything was in color again. I went down to the front, told the congregation, I told my parents. My dad was upset with me. He's passed on since then, but he became my biggest supporter throughout my ministry. But at the time, he was really angry because he had spent his entire life getting our family out of poverty and making it possible for me to go to college so that I could have a successful career. And he thought about it the same way my physician did when I told my physician. I had the same physician from when I was 7 years old until I was 55, and he retired. And I haven't replaced him, by the way. So I I had the same doctor the whole time. And when I told him, he said, you're going to be poor the rest of your life. I said, well, I didn't do it for the money, so that's all right. That was how my dad thought it was going to be. But the reality is, I knew that's what God had called me to. And so I gave my life, committed myself to that, went to college, just out of college, got a degree in English because the college that I went to, religion classes were just not interesting to me, and they weren't convictional. They weren't spiritual. They were just background classes and stuff that I didn't care about. And that doesn't make me mature. That's just who I was at the time. You know, 18 years old, and I just wasn't going to argue about all that stuff. So I got a degree in English instead. I had first focused on math instead of religion because I like math, but then I realized math wasn't going to help me read scripture very well. And so I got a degree in English instead. And when I finished that, I thought I was done. Nobody had ever gone to college in my family before, and I had gotten a college degree, so I'm done with education. So I put in my resume at a church, and I got the church, and I had been preaching anyway, some places that I created opportunities to preach, knocked on doors, invited people to come while I was in college. But after I got out, I just put out my resume, found a place to pastor a church, and a congregation was willing to trust me to do it, and so I came and pastored their church, and I was there for 17 years. During that time, the Lord made me realize that I didn't know as much as I thought I knew. I knew enough to stand up in front of people and convince them that I knew more than they thought I knew, but I didn't know what they really needed to have. And what we were handling in scripture and revelation and truth about God was too important to have just half prepared. And so the Lord had me start at a seminary, which I went to for about half of my MDiv, and man, it was a beat down. I'm just telling you all the truth. It was a beat down. I went to the seminary, and it was completely different then. I'm not even going to say which one it was, because it was completely different then than it is now. And this is not critical of that institution now. But back then, I would go to, at church, we would take kids to children's camp, and we'd have a revival. And we'd go to youth camp and have a revival. And we'd have a literal revival during the year and have a revival. And I was out knocking doors, and we were just, sharing the gospel with people. And things were happening. We were baptized. It was glorious. Having a great time. And then I'd go to seminary, and I'd sit in class, and it would just get worse and worse and duller and duller. And I felt like my soul was being sapped out of me. And so I quit. I quit in the middle of seminary. And my music minister said to me, "You should come to class with me." And so I thought, "Where do you go to school?" And he said, "Criswell College." And I'm like, "Where's that?" And he said, "Dallas." And I, "Oh, W.A. Criswell. You mean a school named after him? Okay, I'll go with you." So I came to class with him, and I couldn't believe it. I sat down in the class, and at this school that was committed to biblical inerrancy, we had discussions about every possible way to read things, understand them, and then always came back to the truth that was in that scripture. And my life was completely changed. My understanding of scripture was changed. My ability to speak, not just things that made people think I was a good speaker, but instead gave them something to digest in the Word of God, was just completely transformed here at Criswell College, where I got my MDiv. And when because I lived right down the street from university and I had the opportunity to do it, I got the PhD that Kevin was talking about. We were in that program together, the humanities program, where I studied philosophy and history. I was proud to get that. I learned a ton of things I needed to learn there, but my understanding of scripture and theology and everything that shapes my ability to do ministry was shaped here. At a school where, by the way, the mission statement, and you should understand this, the mission statement is that we provide ministerial and professional higher education. I'll explain those two words to you in just a second. But ministerial and professional higher education for men and women who are seeking to be Christian leaders throughout society. And we have, as an institution, a commitment to biblical inerrancy. And we don't mean by that, for any of the adults who are in the room and know the language, we don't mean by that some narrow hermeneutical interpretation. We mean committed to the truth of Scripture, absolutely. There's no argument going to be had here that would ever conclude by saying, "Well, I think the Bible's just wrong about that." That won't work. Here, the Bible is always right. It's always the final authority. That's always the way it's going to be. That's what that statement means. Now, I bring up the mission statement to you because some of you are trying to figure out where you're going to go to school. And I'm saying this, by the way, for our staff and faculty and for our current students as well, so you'll be reminded of who we are as a school and what we're doing here. And for all of us, it's a challenge at different times to remember this and apply it well. But for those of you who are prospective students, who are just considering, is this where the Lord wants you to be? You need to know who we are from the very start. And we are that. We are a school with a mission. I've been in higher education since I finished my PhD program. I started teaching at Texas Woman's University. I would teach 4, 5, 6 classes a semester in philosophy for that school while I was pastoring the church that I was at. I taught some at UTA in the summers. I would teach adjunctly for them, things like that. I love higher education. I value higher education, but we're more than higher education. You don't come to Criswell College just because you want a degree. Criswell College exists to serve those who want to be Christian leaders throughout our society. And when I say that, everybody says that. Oh, we're making leaders, you know, and we're a Christian school. But we don't mean you're going to get 6 or 12 hours of religion and we're going to help you be successful in your career. What we mean is you're going to be a specific kind, you're going to be prepared to be a specific kind of servant to God first, and to reshape how Christianity is lived in our world, not just flow with the river that's already flowing. Because I don't know if any of y'all have noticed, but the world is messed up. And I mean our world is messed up. You don't have to go halfway around the globe to find something is wrong. Something is not good enough about the way we're living out our Christianity. And so we want you to know the Word of God and be a better expression of Christianity than I am or any of the professors here or any of your parents or grandparents have ever been. Because Christianity is the hope of the world. Christ is the hope of the world. And we have not lived out Christianity as well as it ought to be lived out. That's an easy thing for any generation to say, because until Christ returns, this isn't going to be a perfect world and no church is going to be a perfect church. I'm just going to pause there and say, can I get an amen to that? All right. So if we're not perfect and we're not good enough, then how are we going to get there? Well, it's not going to be by you imitating me or by you imitating someone else. It's going to be by you. Now, you do have to follow leaders. You have to follow examples. But you follow them, and then you commit yourself to the influence of the Holy Spirit in the written Word of God and the power of transformation that only the resurrection of Christ can bring into your life. You commit yourself to that, and God will take you places no one else has ever gone. And he will help you forge the way for other people to be able to live their Christianity better. And so when we say we want to provide ministerial and professional higher education for men and women who want to serve as Christian leaders throughout society with an institutional commitment to biblical inerrancy, we don't say leaders and then just leave it lying. We instead developed a whole profile. We call it the graduate profile. All the people who've been associated with Criswell College for a while could tell you what the graduate profile is: ambassadors, cultivators, peacemakers, problem solvers, and professionals, right? Y'all can say this with me, right? You know it. You don't have to say it with me. Don't worry. I'm not going to ask you to say it. But you know the expression. We repeat that all the time because that's what we want to see in our graduates. But we don't just say it loosely. We don't just say we want leaders who are ambassadors, cultivators, peacemakers, problem solvers, and professionals, and you just figure out what it is. Nor do we just say it and define it. I'll define it for you in just a moment, and define each of those terms and then say, good luck getting there. We hope you get there. We defined every class in the school. We worked over every single class in our curriculum to make sure that every class is contributing in some way to make you an ambassador, cultivator, problem solver, professional, everything that's in the graduate profile. So here's the point, that when we say ambassadors, we mean ambassadors who are able to communicate effectively across various platforms and contexts. That's not loosely defined. We worked for a year to come up with what these terms mean and what they were going to be. Why do we want you to be ambassadors? Because we're not just out for our own career. This is the point. We want to reach students. We're a small school. You can tell we're a small school, right? If you're not aware of it, let me just tell you ahead of time. We are a small school, okay? This is who we are. We're not even trying to be a giant school. When we're fully developed, we want to be a bigger small school than we are right now. That's all. So when we say we want ambassadors, we mean we want students who realize that they're not going to spend their lives serving or representing themselves. You're ambassadors of someone else. So we want people who understand that their whole lives and careers belong to God and the people he's called us to serve. And so the first step in that is to be ambassadors who communicate effectively across various platforms and contexts. We're not defining whether you have to stand in a pulpit and preach a sermon, or if you're writing articles for a newspaper, or if you're writing briefs for a court, or if you're writing professional papers for the company you're working for. Whatever it is you're communicating, you have to communicate. There are only two ways people bring about change in this world. There are two ways that you have to exercise authority or leadership in this world. One is with weapons, and the other is with words. Jesus did not come with weapons. He came with words. He stood on the side of a hill, and he gave lectures to people. Now, a lecture isn't enough. You have to live it out. He brought his own body, and he demonstrated the truth of his commitment and love for the people that he was serving. We'll get to that next. That's cultivators. But we start out by saying, you have to become capable of speaking the words that will reach other people and help them understand not just your truth, but the truth that God has given you, so that the world can be different. Ambassadors who communicate effectively across various platforms and contexts, because whether you're going to be communicating in English or in Spanish or on paper or electronically or through media or person to person, we want you to be effective as a communicator. That's why Dr. Spring is going to brutalize you in her English classes. We provide therapy and remedy from that as well, by the way. But you will learn to write. You know, we focused on having a full-time faculty member who could commit themselves to helping you do that. She has a PhD in English from Texas A&M, for crying out loud. You would think that Aggies can't do it, but they can. So this is the reality. A great professor in that discipline, because we want you to be an effective communicator and to go beyond that in public speaking and every other way to be an effective communicator. But also cultivators. And again, not loosely defined and not chosen just as a loose metaphor. You'll realize after you start into the program, everybody comes in with a major of Bible and theology. And when you do, one of the first classes you take is the Roots of a Christian Scholar. Well, those are not named accidentally. The whole idea is that we're planting seeds and, you know, growing the roots and then seeing the fruit that comes from that. And so when we say cultivators, we're using that same image that comes out of Matthew 13 and other passages in the New Testament to make the point that we need to be cultivators who are seeking to understand diverse populations and then to build or develop intentional relationships. To think about those two expressions. Most of these have two expressions that go with them. But number one is seeking to understand diverse populations. When you hear that language in our community right now, people freak out. They're like, oh no, they've gone woke. What's happened to this? You know, why are we trying to understand diverse people? Do you realize, I mean, just look around the room. Do you realize there are people in the world who are not like you? You know, Dr. Bridger here, and he can talk about this during the panel discussion that you'll have in just a moment. Dr. Bridger here takes our students, and he's spent his life doing this, but now he's gracious enough to share it with our students. He takes our students, and they serve in Israel. And most people hear that, and they're like, okay, good, go to Israel and walk the Holy Land. We go to Israel, we do walk Holy Land. It's holy because people who bear the image of God live there, not because there are artifacts there of our religion. People who bear the image of God live there in Jerusalem, and they live in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is on the Palestinian side, if you don't know it. So our students go, and they meet Jewish Israelis, and they meet Arab Israelis. They go and they speak to people who speak primarily Hebrew, and they go and speak to people who speak primarily Arabic. Dr. Bridger teaches Arabic here because we want to understand the people Christ died for and be able to communicate with them in a way that's meaningful. And that means not simply, so when I was, again, young and enthusiastic, I haven't lost my enthusiasm, but it's different now. When I was young and enthusiastic, we did what was what other people later would call drive-by evangelism. Are you familiar with this? So you're just spraying people with the gospel while you drive by them, right? It's like a drive-by shooting, but with the gospel. I did that, and hey, the gospel is the gospel. So I'm happy that anybody's talking about Christ. The problem is when people aren't talking about Christ. So I'm not being hypercritical about it, but I will say this: it took me a long time to learn that until you say to someone meaningfully, I want to hear you, and I want to understand you, and I want to know who you are, until you can say that meaningfully, they're not going to hear you saying, now let me tell you who I am and what Christ has done in my life and why that could make a difference in your life. So when we say cultivators, what we're saying is we don't want people who pop into a setting and say, I've got all your solutions. Just listen to me and give me your money and everything will be fine. We want people who plant themselves in the lives of other people, who learn from those other people, who care about those other people, invest in those other people. And then building intentional relationships are able to share meaningfully back and forth the reality of what Christ is doing in our life because of the resurrection and what he can do in their life because of the resurrection as well. That's how the gospel works in Scripture. And that's how we want it to work through us. So cultivators who seek to understand diverse populations means we want to serve the world, not just people who look like us. We don't want to build churches in the middle of communities and then be nervous when the community changes. We want to build churches that can change with the community and can reach that community with the gospel. It's part of the reason we've planted ourselves here. When others wanted us to move and go somewhere else, let's have a suburban campus and let's build different buildings and let's get out of downtown where all the dangers and the homeless people are. We're like, why would we want to learn ministry where we would run into fewer people who need ministry, you know? So when you move here and you move into the dorm and you live on Criswell College's campus, you know, right off the bat when we started, our trustees were like, you know, you need to build a fence around that dorm because this is a dangerous place. I'm like, well, that would sort of undermine the point of being here, wouldn't it? We're supposed to be with people here, not keeping people out here. That's the object. Because when our graduates graduate, and I watched it happen for 40 years in ministry, when graduates graduate and they go to a church and they haven't done that, they haven't lived in this kind of environment, and they haven't worked with people and understood that they're just human beings who have needs like everybody else, when they haven't done that, then they build a church that's just sheltered from the community around it instead of actually ministering to the community around it and involved in that community. And we want you to be able to do that. That's what cultivating is about. Being a peacemaker. This one's right at the center for a reason, by the way. They are alphabetical, but that was an accident, as it turned out. But being a peacemaker means we pursue, and we want you to be able to pursue truth and righteousness through mercy and reconciliation. Both of those are essential to being peacemakers because we want to make peace with God, who is true and righteous. But we can't do that if all we're doing is pronouncing curses. You know, some kind of offering these pronouncements of judgment on everyone who's around us. Here's the truth. You're wicked people. And it's the opposite of what Jesus told us to do. Stop pointing at everybody else and telling us what's wrong with them. Jesus says, if you want to know what's wrong, start with you. First, cast the beam out of your own eye. Then you can help somebody get the splinter out of their eye. And we want to do both. We want to proclaim truth and righteousness, but we want to do it by seeking mercy and reconciliation. And so that's what we do. We pursue truth and righteousness through mercy and reconciliation. The one verse I'll give you today to point this out is the end of James 3. Love the book of James, always have to refer to it in some way. And so today it's the end of James 3. The fruit of righteousness. This is what people want, right? Fruit of righteousness. Even people who want to point their fingers and pronounce the judgment on everybody. We want the fruit of righteousness. Where does it come from? Do y'all know the rest of the verse? The fruit of righteousness, in the King James, it says it this way. The fruit of righteousness, if you want to get to righteousness, this is how you get there. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of those who make peace. That's what it says. In an entire chapter about saying, you know, we got enough judges. God himself is the only judge that matters in chapter 4, the very next chapter. Got enough judges. What we need is somebody whose goal is to create mercy and reconciliation in this world. Christ brought it into the world. Our job is to represent that going out. So ambassadors, cultivators, peacemakers, problem solvers who think critically and creatively and collaboratively. These last two are about really the principal parts of what we do in higher education. They're focused on that. And the critical thinking part, the part where you can actually solve problems, put you in the category that says, I don't just take everyone's word for it. I'm going to look at the information myself and process it so you can think critically, so you know how to do that, but also creatively. I can come up with solutions that others haven't come up with, and yet also collaboratively, because we realize that just like in the body of Christ, it is essential that the things that you do involve the minds of other people who are around you, because none of us are whole in and of ourselves. We have to be together with other people in order for us to accomplish. None of us are whole enough in ourselves to represent the righteousness of God. Why does he put us in a body? We're in the body of Christ because the body is Christ on earth. And in the same way, intellectually and every other way, we need to learn how to work together in order to solve the problems that face us. And so critical thinkers, you know, problem solvers who can think critically, creatively, and collaboratively. And finally, and I'll conclude with this, professionals, I know our team is saying, are you going to conclude or are we just going to keep going all day? Actually, they're delighted I'm speaking, aren't you? I know, yes, I trust you. Anyway, the point is, the last point in the graduate profile is professionals. And so there's a misunderstanding of what that means in our mission statement, because it says we provide ministerial and professional higher education. And what people think that means is we provide ministerial education for people, you know, who are going to go be preachers. So I'm going to go be a pastor, so I need a ministerial education. And then we provide professional education for people who are going to go into careers in education or counseling or, you know, whatever it's going to be. That's not what it means at all. Ministerial and professional means we want to provide higher education that reinforces your calling as a servant of Jesus Christ. Whatever your career is going to be, it doesn't matter whether you're going to be in a secular career, as people identify it, or a church vocational career, you're still going to have to know how to serve Christ in that capacity. And so we want to provide a ministerial education for every student. And we want to provide a professional education for every student. If you're going to be in a church vocational ministry, you don't need to be a person who doesn't know how to do things. You still need to know how to manage a budget or how to manage a staff. You also need to have the expertise of how to resolve conflicts and so on. Those are professional development goals that you will learn as a person who's going into church vocational ministry. But additionally, you need to know if you're going to be a public school teacher, the professional disciplines that go with that. And so when we say professionals, we mean in two senses. And this covers the ministerial and the professional. Professional first. Professionals who are, first of all, competent within their discipline, but also intentional about their vocation. By vocation, we mean calling. And by calling, we mean God owns your life and you recognize it. So that your life and career is no longer something you're going to pursue in your own self-interest. I'm not going to have a career so I can just make it. If you're the kind of person, and not everybody's this way, every Christian ought to be this way, we know that, but not every Christian is. If you're the kind of Christian who wants to lay down your life for God and the people he has called us to serve in this world, then this is the school for you. If you might be that person, if you're considering that, we can help you find your way there. If you are that, you're going to feel at home the first minute you come onto this campus and start studying. This is the place for you, because we want you to be able to lay down your life for him. I want to encourage you on this day to understand that what God can do with your life is worth everything and more that you will give up because you don't do what you could have done with your life. He can do more. And so I encourage you to give your life to him. And if he would use you here as a student and allow us to feed into that and encourage you in that path, then we'd love to be a part of that. So I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer, and then I'm going to give the floor to Jocelyn, and she's going to come and help get our panel discussion started, okay? So Father, thank you so much for this day, for the time that we've had together. Thank you for the students you've sent our way already who, you know, I was just in class with a half dozen of them and talking about political theory and the things that come from our way of understanding all of those issues. I am blessed and encouraged and challenged by them, and I grow in it every day, and I hope they're growing in it too, and I see them growing in it. But Father, for these prospective students, we especially pray, and for their families, that you would give them wisdom to know your calling on their life, what you want to do with them, and where they will go next. And Lord, if it is here, we pray that you would make that clear to them, and that we would be able to be a blessing and encouragement, also a challenge and a reshaping force for them to be faithful stewards of the opportunities you give them going forward. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the rest of this chapel time and the rest of this preview day for those students and all of our students as we move forward in obedience to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. All right, Roman, I give it to you.
Thank you. Yeah, let's give a hand for Dr. Kramer. So now we're going to jump into our Criswell 360 panel discussion. And so please, joining us today, we have our very own Dr. Bridger, if you want to come on up. And then we have Abby Lacaille, a student as well.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
And then our very own Dr. Seitzler, who you all heard from earlier today, program director of our PPE program. And we're just going to take a brief moment to talk about Criswell 360. So please, as we take a moment to talk about this, I'll go ahead and start and talk about the freshman experience. Students, as well as guests, you know about the freshman experience. For our guests, we talked about it a little bit this morning. And we just want to tell you a little bit about some of the overarching experiences that you have here at Criswell College. First, beginning with the freshman experience, we've labeled that Freshman Go. And so you get to be involved, Freshman Grow. You get to be involved in the community here at Criswell. You get to grow and learn together. So you'll experience things like peer community groups, which I mentioned this morning, as well as Thrive Lunches, where you get to come and hear from various speakers, whether from outside our institution or inside. Not only that, you'll also get to go to what we call Sophomore Summit. Now, despite the name, it's a part of the freshman experience because it's gearing you up as students to be excited about declaring your second major, because you'll be coming in working on your Bible and theology, and then currently thinking about, hey, what is God calling me to do? What am I going to do with my future here? And that will happen about your third semester. And that encapsulates kind of the freshman experience, kicking it off at the end with the major declaration ceremony. So that's where you get to decide, hey, this is what God is calling me to do, and this is the program that God wants me to do for my undergrad. And then there, it's a launching pad going into our second year experience, and that's Sophomores Go. Dr. Bridger, you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yes,
happy to. Sophomores Go. So there are a couple of key classes or a sequence of classes that are a part of the Sophomore Go. The first one is Communications 201, which is intercultural communication. And as Dr. Kramer was talking about being cultivators, that class equips our students with categories for understanding the diversity of cultures and ethnicities that populate our globe, fellow image bearers that view, for instance, time differently than we do, monochronic, polychronic, fancy words like that. That just means that when somebody shows up late to something, don't automatically assume they're being disrespectful of time, for instance, and other categories. So that's key. That's really key, because Christians in other cultures view things like that differently. A second class in that sequence is CRIS 201, which prepares students to, it's called Global Learning and Service, and it prepares students ultimately to go on a trip to Israel. And it's there where we do, as was mentioned, we visit sites that complement your Bible and theology degree. And then we also meet the peoples dwelling in the land, fellow image bearers, Israelis and Palestinians. And we develop relationships with them through a service project. And Abby's going to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring up what Dr. Kramer was saying during his chapel was we don't want to do a drive-by ministry type thing with these people. And so whenever we go, we had the unique experience of meeting people in these villages rather than just kind of going saying hi or we visited the land. No, we got to do a service project, and our theme was critical thinking for the students. And so we got to put on this camp that kind of promoted like thoughts about social media and hate and everything that can go into that, influences, yes. One thing that we did as before we would teach was we would play games with them and we would talk with them. I was worried about the language barrier. We mostly did Arab camps. And before I went, my grandparents were like, oh, you know, be careful in Israel, you know, but it was so, they were so welcoming, and the relationships that we built have been life-lasting. I'm now in Arabic, taking Arabic to learn the language, to communicate better with the students back in Israel. I communicate with them on Instagram, and they're always texting me updates, texting me pictures of their outfits that they're wearing, like, hey, is this cute? And it's just, I got to see how much we really do have in common. It was so beautiful to get to see their hearts, and they care so deeply about the things around them. But yeah, that's my.
I think that points out something that's, again, super unique about us is going on this service trip. Not only are you getting the sightseeing, but on top of that, you're serving and you're making those connections. You're making those friendships. That's really cool. I didn't know that, Abby. But you're making those friendships that possibly last a lifetime. That's really cool.
That's right. And just one other quick comment. In intercultural communication and global learning and service, it's really important that all of us learn to take the posture of a learner. Mm. Even though we're leading, Abby led and several of our students led, but we walk in with that posture of a learner because it's so complex. And we want to hear their voices, understand, step into as much as we can their experiences, enter into that so that we can ultimately be salt and light and be a gospel witness in the midst of that.
That reminds me, as we were there, we took a class during the summer, really reading a book. It was How to Share Hope in the Holy Land. Hope in the Holy Land. And it had all this information about the conflict that has been happening. And I was like, whoa, there's no quick fix to this at all. Like, it was a really good book. And so when I went there, I thought I knew a lot about everything. And seeing the land and seeing how everything works, I was sitting down with one of the girls that we're talking with, and I was like, she was like, so what do you know? Like, she was asking me, like, what do I know about the conflict? Like, did you learn about it before you came here? Kind of like seeing how much I cared and interest. And I was like, yeah, I learned all about it. Like, I've been studying this for a year and a half now, like, basically. And she was like, not enough. And I just, yeah, I was like, wow. I didn't take it as like her being rude. It was more of like, no, yeah, it's not enough. It was another part of that is taking that and applying it and going there and building those relationships with them so I can learn enough.
So that, in a nutshell, kind of encompasses kind of the first two-year experience that you get at Criswell. But then moving on to our third year, Dr. Seitzler, is very integral to that process, and that is Junior Serve. Dr. Seitzler, can you tell us just a little bit about that, what courses are involved, and what students experience?
Yeah, so the junior year, I would say, is where students kind of start making a turn in their education. That is looking towards what, so to anticipate a little bit, so seniors, we're gonna say seniors launch. So freshmen grow, sophomores go, juniors serve, and then seniors launch. So it's that junior year that you start pivoting, you kind of start making the turn. And a big part of that turn in our junior year is a course that I kind of something I direct, but a course that I teach called Local Learning and Service. And a unique and weird, and I'll be honest, I think kind of a tension for our students as I watch them in the course and have watched them for several semesters, but also a tension for me as a professor, is that, like Dr. Bridger said, in these sophomore courses, there's a whole lot of teaching students to adopt a posture of a learner. So you're serving by being a learner first. In these junior and senior level courses, we're doing the exact same thing. The really uncomfortable pivot is that when you graduate, when you walk across this stage right here, after your senior year, whoever it is that's hiring you wants you to be a learner that also knows something, also knows how to do something, and will be able to sit in a meeting room and someone can look at you and say, well, what do you think? What do you think?
Amen.
What do you think? And that you will have an opinion, a well-informed opinion. That's really difficult for students who have been doing nothing but training to be learners their entire education. And it's difficult for a professor who really wants to step in and give the answers. So your junior year, you take this course called Local Learning and Service, in which we partner with real organizations who are in the community, who are serving the community, helping to solve what we might call wicked problems. Wicked problems are the kinds of problems you mentioned that don't have any easy solutions. All the problems you're working on at Criswell College are wicked problems. If they had easy solutions, well, they would be solved. So the problem of homelessness, the problem of addiction, the problem of racism, the problem of war in the Middle East, these are wicked problems. And so the problem that students are working on this semester is that we're working alongside, we're serving a nonprofit over in West Dallas that is a multiracial, multi-ethnic, and low socioeconomic status community that is developing and has for years been trying to develop a really solid, reliable, use it year after year Bible training program for children and students from kindergarten to their senior year in high school. And this is really difficult for them because they can't find any curriculum that really speaks to and matches the community that they're in. So when they hear about our students and what they do, what y'all do, they say, can you help us with that? So this is the project that students are working on this semester. And it's really hard. And there's a lot of pain and suffering and gnashing of teeth because it's confusing. Because again, if it were easy, they would have done it 30 years ago. But it's not easy, and so they're still working on it. They're still fighting on it. They're still fighting with us. So the goal behind this class, what it's doing, is it's not just service project. It's not just learning in the classroom. It's service learning, meaning that the learning is the thing that you're doing with your hands, with your mind, with your body in the community. So that's what the entire third year is about, is that process.
And then lastly, you get to Seniors Launch. That is the fourth and final year for your undergrad program, if you're interested in that, and for those of our students that are currently in that. And that is where, like Dr. Creamer said, you've had all these experiences, you've had all these courses, you've gotten a taste of, hey, this is what life looks like, and this is what ministry looks like at a practical, fundamental level. And then you've had, hey, these are some of the extremes. These are some of the harder, more educated opinions that you need to be thinking about that are out there in our community that help you develop as a ministry leader on your own. And so once you get through this, we get to Seniors Launch, your fourth and final year, and that's where you prepare to go out and do everything they just said. You get to be an ambassador, a cultivator, a peacemaker, a problem solver, and a professional. You get to be all those things, whether it's in a local community or whether it's at a global level. Wherever the Lord has called you to, whether you go out and you go and serve in Israel, and that's where the Lord's called you to, or whether you stick to Dallas, because during your 4 years here, you thought, man, I can work with organizations like Our Calling, or any other things to help the homeless population in Dallas. So wherever the context you find yourself, where God leads you to be placed in, that's where life happens. That is where your education can take you. And so that final year, really we want to be intentional with getting you plugged into where the Lord wants you to. That's where program directors are so key. And again, for our guests, you got to hear from them. They help you develop and say, hey, what's next for you in that senior year? What's next for you? Where is the Lord calling you? And so that's kind of Criswell 360 in a nutshell, if I could say it at 30,000 foot level.
Just one quick comment.
Yeah.
I would say there's nothing like this in this country. Criswell College is unique. This integrated experience took years to develop, literally. And we're super proud of it and believe in our graduates and what it produces. There's nothing else like it. So,
absolutely. So that's about all the time we have left. We want to keep on schedule with our guests here today. So we are actually going to have lunch for you folks. And so if we want to give first a hand to our panelists. Students, you will be dismissed to class. Our guests, if you would like to head right back down the stairwell, we have fajitas waiting for you.